This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome back to Talkville, folks, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, where each week, Tom, Ryan, and I go back. We go way back. We watch the episodes, as you know, and we review them. Sometimes we're a little critical. Most of the time it's me, but you get the point. We have a lot of fun doing this, and you know, I just had Alan Miles. I interviewed them. They haven't aired yet on Inside of You, but we talked a lot about this. And I asked them, I said, you know, am I shitting on the show? He's like, no. You know, you just, you know, it's like you look back and you're like, there were some duds. There were certainly some duds. And there were some great episodes. And you know how hard it is to continually do good episodes on network TV. It's 22 a year. And so we discussed that a lot. And they weren't mad at me or anything.
Is it true that Al watches every one of these podcasts?
I believe he does. He does. He certainly watches or listens to my Inside of You, and I think he listens to all of these as well. He's a good dude.
He does. Yeah. No. He made a point of, yeah, talking about it.
Yeah.
He listens to these.
He does. He does
Al Goff,
listen.
Creator of Smallville.
Mm-hmm. Al Goff, creator of Smallville. Follow us on our socials. It really helps us and you. And well, I don't know if it helps you. Well, it helps you keep you informed. At Talkville Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. At Talkville Pod on Twitter. And if you didn't get a chance to call the hotline, you need to do so for future episodes. We try to get different people on there. You know, we're not, we're open to, but keep the, you know, your questions to 20 seconds, no more than that. And the number is, Ryan?
213-538-2883.
213-JET-CUTE.
Mm-hmm.
Jet, J-E-T, cute. Leave a message. Make sure it's quick. I commend those that leave messages that are quick. And also, you know, Tom, people should subscribe to the show. That's important, to subscribe and write a review. It helps us in the ratings, gets us our show out there. There's a lot of other shows, a lot of other podcasts, a lot of other rewatch podcasts, and we want to be up there. So, you know, get us to the top. Tom, what were you going to say?
Well, it's also fun when we do the conventions, when we meet people who are either patron members or they follow the show, and it's always fun that they mention it at the table. It's fun.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Also, if you really want to support the podcast, because you know we're new and we're trying to stay afloat, pay our bills, but it is patreon.com/talkville. Become a patron today. Become a talkie. That's what it is. They're talkies. Get it? Talkville. You with me?
Talkies, like Trekkies.
Without further ado, let's get into season 2, episode 12, Insurgents.
Die Hard.
Kind of a little Die Hard-ish. That's the way I want to die. Title: Insurgents, aired January 21st, 2003. Director: James Marshall. Writers: you can tell it's going to be a long episode, right? If Marshall directed. I love you, Marshall. Writers, Jeff Loeb. Love Jeff Loeb. In fact, he said, hey, I'd love to get back on today to talk about Insurgents, since he wrote it. And Ken Biller. Remember Ken Biller?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Guest star Patrick Cassidy as Henry Small, Kevin Gage as Pine, and Byron Mann as Kern. Lex becomes paranoid after finding out his office has been bugged. He hires a crew to make a counterattack on Luther Corp. Plans go astray, as they always seem to do. Martha and Lionel get taken hostage, forcing Clark to leap into action and rescue them.
Has anyone thought about maybe Henry Small? Is it the Small family that Smallville is named after? Anything? Anyone?
Hello.
I said, oh, Al, we were just talking about you, Al. We're live here on the podcast. We're doing Insurgents, which is a fun episode.
I love that episode. Yeah. I love that episode.
Hey, really quick question. Henry Small.
Yes. Yes.
It doesn't have anything to do with his last name that Smallville is Smallville because Henry Small, the Small family.
I think at one point it was, yes, that was part of they were one of the founding families of Smallville. Yes. That's the idea.
So that was the idea. Is that in the comic books?
I don't think so. But I think it was just because that's, you know, a lot of times that's what would happen, right? You'd have these small towns in the Midwest and whoever was like sort of the first families to come in and settle it, they'd name the town after them. So.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Yeah. Did you see that documentary, The Murdochs?
No, I have not.
Oh, my God.
Is this the one with is this the Southern lawyers?
Yes, it is. Wow.
I love that. That case fascinates me. I have to watch it. My daughter watched it and loved it. So
this is the most corrupt family you've ever seen and the craziest shit that goes on. cool. I know you're busy. What can you remember about Insurgents briefly?
Well, funnily enough, I think Insurgents was supposed to be, they used to have this term in TV when you were making 22, they wanted one to be a bottle episode, which meant we only want to shoot it on sets because it would save time and money. But the bottle episode was Lionel's office. But then, of course, it's all everything that went on outside and the jump from the building and stuff. So it was supposed to be an episode that wasn't expensive to a very expensive episode, but I think an excellent episode. Because I think it reveals so much, and you do have the great, you know, Lionel Martha dynamic in there. And then for Martha to kind of really understand, you know, she's, you know, trying to forge her own identity and being successful, and then realizing, oh, Lionel's playing a bigger, more nefarious game. Because is that the one where they find all the kryptonite in the vault?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I like that episode a lot. I think I thought that was a very good episode. Who directed that?
James Marshall.
Marshall. Yeah, it's a Marshall special.
Yeah.
He's very good.
Marshall special. Is he going to direct any future Wednesdays?
But potentially, I mean, he directed this first season. He directed the last two episodes of Wednesday. So,
wow.
We've always had him on. He directed Into the Badlands. He did the Shannara Chronicles. I mean, we've always used James on our shows.
How old is he now? How old is James?
I want to say he's early 60s.
Early 60s.
Yeah.
Oh, Canadian boy. Yeah. Jeff Loeb and Ken Biller did a good job on this one. You ever talk to Jeff or Ken Biller?
You know, I speak to Jeff. Miles and I spoke to Jeff. It wasn't that long ago. I mean, he reached out for Wednesday, but then Miles and I Zoomed with him, I think, during lockdown. And then he emailed after he'd seen Wednesday. And Ken Biller, I haven't talked to in a while. I used to talk to him quite regularly because our oldest daughters are the same age.
Right.
So, and I would see him every now and then, but I haven't talked to Ken in a while. But you know, look, they were both, you know, for us, and you know, they both came in season two and were, you know, kind of a big part of that kind of season two through season four run. You know, and both very good, and obviously have both gone on to do great things as well.
No wonder James said he was too busy to come on our podcast. He was working with Al.
Yeah. Hey, whatever happened to Bill Millar, Bob Lamar or Millar or
Bill Millar. Bill. So we
special effects
first season. Yes, he did visual effects. He did the first season, and he was kind of a mad genius, and he was in his what I call his visual effects lair, but he didn't I think he had a very contentious relationship with the studio, and he had a very contentious relationship with delivery schedules. So with season two, we had to switch. We had to switch vendors. And I think one of the things with season one, why it took so long for it to come out on HD, is because Warner's had to go back and get the actual physical shots from Bill to basically converted to HD. So there was a whole, and I'm frankly not sure what happened there, but it was just something after season one, you know, we needed to go with a vendor who was a little, frankly, bigger and a little more reliable, just given the scope and the speed of the show. I mean, but Bill Millar was great. I mean, there's some iconic shots in season one that were him, you know, you in the field, you know, Lex, future Lex in the field.
Blood rains from heaven. Yeah.
The blood. I mean, that was all Bill Maher. I mean, he's kind of a genius, but I think he just wasn't able to, as the show got kind of bigger, he wasn't able to scale up as much.
Right.
Switch vendors. Yeah.
Well, thanks for the insight. Thanks for answering the phone call. This has been an Al Goff minute. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, love
you, Al. See you. Love you.
Al's such a great guy. I remember in the first season, we were going through something, and I was in a car with him and Miles, and he turned to me and he said, how do you like your representation? And I was like, what? He's like, you're happy with them? Because frankly, they're not doing a very good job. And I was like, he goes, they don't talk to me. I'm just telling you on your behalf, you might want to look out. And I was like, he's trying to play tricks? No, he wasn't. They were doing a poor job.
And you fired him?
Yeah, you got rid of him. But Al was just, he's a good guy like that.
Yeah. You know what's funny is a little insight for people that are listening that aren't in the entertainment industry. When an agent signs an actor, if you're with an agent and you land a big show, if you fire them right after or whenever you fire them, they still get paid their commission for the contract. So,
yeah.
I fired my manager who wasn't doing shit. I got the show.
Yeah, because you get on the show and then they're like, all right, he's busy for 9 months.
Yeah, I was giving them 15%. And I finally, I think after 3 years, let them go. 3 years, but then he got another 3 years because my deal was six-year deal. So he got another 3 years of just making bank on that. So if you do it, that's why if you could somehow finagle to just have a lawyer work your deal, what I mean? Then you're not dealing with all that stuff because there's so many percentages, agent, manager, publicist, lawyer. It just never ends. Here's a brief play-by-play, folks. The episode starts with Lex in his office, laying into his lawyer, confused how his father beat him out of a $150 million contract. They believe Lionel had some sort of inside information. And I like how Lex gets a little bit like, you know, don't mess with me, dude. Don't mess with me. This guy was kind of, you don't see him again, I don't think. I'm not sure, but he was kind of squirrely, wasn't he? Squirrely, dude.
He looked like he needed to keep his job.
Yeah, he played it well. After destroying his desk in frustration, Lex finds a tiny microphone inside his orchid. The office has been bugged. The next day, we see Lex continuing to destroy, looking for bugs. Clark interrupts the demolition to learn what Lionel has been doing. He goes on to use X-ray to help Lex identify another listening device into the stereo. I'll be honest with you. This whole scene with Lex, I know he was paranoid. I know he was angry, agitated, you know. But I thought it was over the top. I thought it played it over the top. I think Marshall and I didn't get it right.
What it seemed to me, the way it's edited is it jumps from you smashing that. There's no moments of, I smashed this, it's not there, what am I going to do next? There was no buildup. It was 0 to 100 and then just smash, 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 smash. So, and I don't think that, I wouldn't say that's a performance thing. It's more of an editing thing. I think they were trying to ramp up the tension. And I think it could have used a little bit of, wait a second, let me get my grip here and then lose your mind.
Well, first of all, I don't think Lex would have smashed all this shit. Ryan, help me out here. I think he would have gone meticulously piece by piece, hired a team or something, and nobody leaves here. We're going through each thing meticulously. He wouldn't be slamming all this old like artifacts and stereo and like just destroying it all because it might be there still. You got to really, it just seems stupid. It's the only part of the episode I really thought was stupid. And it was me.
Well, and it's also one of those things where you're trusting the director.
Yeah.
You're trusting the direction, and then later you go,
I didn't like that part. It was the only, and I really liked this episode. I'll just say it right now. I did like this episode. This was not one scene that I liked. Back at the Kents, Jonathan's preparing a wholesome picnic for his anniversary. Martha comes downstairs to break the bad news. She then has to go to Luther Corp for work, leaving Jonathan disappointed and heartbroken. And in this scene, Jonathan references the party Clark threw last year during Jitters. I like throwbacks, callbacks, you know? Lionel goes to meet with Lex before working on his big deal in Metropolis and gets accused by his son of corporate espionage. Lionel denies Lex's accusations. I thought it was a good scene. Who else would it be? because we never really discovered. I mean, it was Lionel, right?
Yeah, you just have to. I think everybody just, of course, it's Lionel. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Talkville is brought to you by AG1. Tom and I talk about this all the time. If you want to get healthy, if you want to feel better, if you want to have energy and focus, this is what we take and it helps us. And we talk about it all the time, but AG1, Talkville and AG1, they go hand in hand together. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. And that's why for a couple of years now, we've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in with water once a day, every day. And it helps us feel, I don't know, it helps me feel alive, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, I just took a weekend vacation with my family and I don't know, something was going on and I realized I hadn't brought my AG1. And when I got home, I literally drank one and I was like, oh, this is what I was missing. And that's the truth.
Well, really look, was. I mean, what people don't realize is, you know, instead of taking all these vitamin pills every day, and I hate swallowing pills, AG1 helps cover my bases with high quality ingredients like pre and probiotics, which we all need, adaptogens, antioxidants, and whole food source nutrients. I know that if I drink it daily, I'm going to feel that extra boost. And that's what Tom was talking about. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why we've partnered with them so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/talkville.
That's drinkag1.com/talkville. Check it out. And the travel packs are worth it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
As he leaves, we see Lex answering a call as Mr. Green with a voice modulator and talking with the team that he has hired to make a counterattack on Luther Corp, bugging and building so he can gain intel.
Understand?
Bugging the building. Later on in his loft, Clark is reading a book on family conflicts when he is interrupted by Lana. She is stopping by before meeting Henry Small and his wife, Jennifer. Clark goes on to talk about his parents' current problems as an attempt to be more honest with Lana.
I mean, he didn't say anything that we didn't already know, so it didn't, I don't know. I guess it's nice to see Clark dealing with emotions. You can't just physically overcome this challenge.
Yeah. Ryan, are you going to say something?
Well, she said the little gem, after all, some people are just meant to be together. Or did he say that? I can't remember now. Oh, shit.
That's all right.
I watched this a week ago.
Yeah, we watched it a week ago.
Anyway, it was telling. Yes.
Clark makes a stop by Luther Manor to ask Lex for help planning a romantic evening for his mother and father in Metropolis since Martha got called out for work. This takes Lex by surprise because he wasn't aware she would be there during off hours while he was having the place bugged. Back in Metropolis, the surveillance team is getting to work inside Luther Corp, bugging different electronics and furniture. Lex calls to cancel the job. You know, I like the guy, one of the guys. I like that bald-headed guy.
You know who he was? You know who he is? I remember being starstruck by him. He is the bad guy from Heat.
Is he?
Yeah. And I recognized him when he came, and I was like, whoa, that's that guy from Heat. He's like, he was in Heat. He had long hair. He's the guy who kind of like... double crosses people. He's like, I can go find the guys who did this. He's like a bad guy. Bad.
Kevin Gage.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a great actor.
Really good. Lex calls to cancel the job after he hears workers will be at Luther Corp. The team leader, Kern, is shocked to find out that within his own team, they have turned against him and plan on using this opportunity inside Luther Corp to rob the place.
Yeah, I felt bad for that guy. I feel bad for him. It was nice that Lex is like, hey, this isn't the time. There's going to be people aboard. And the guy's like, guys, we're out. We're here to do a job. And they're like, nah, we're not here to do a job. And I was like, oh, man.
Wait, who said that?
The lead guy, the guy who you call.
Right.
Picks up the phone.
That's Kern. That's the heat guy.
He's the guy who answers the phone. And he says, everybody, okay, we're out. And the guy's like, no, we're not leaving. He's like, we were here to do a job. It's been canceled. And then Kern is like, we're not done. We're here for another motive.
Lex calls. So also Pine knocks out Kern and assumes the leader position of this new heist team. In another office, Lionel and Martha are signing documents for the deal. Martha is upset and confused on why she is the only one working. Lionel responds by letting her know she has been promoted, gifting her a fancy watch in her very own office, along with his body.
Yeah, and the watch probably has a tracking chip in it.
Lionel, you know, Lionel's really creepy in this episode. He's definitely, we see that creep factor. It's like, you know, we see that guy, you know, we know who he is now. We're well aware of who he is. Martha tells Lionel that she's flattered, but she can't accept the job. Working at a Metropolis would be much too much of a strain on her family. Lionel responds by grabbing her arm, inappropriate, and trying to ask her to reconsider over dinner like a sleazeball. He wants to get in Martha's pants. How dare he? That's a married woman. Disgusting. I'm going to tell him when I see him at another convention how disgusting he was that moment. Luckily, they're interrupted by Nikki from the heist team at gunpoint, who kidnaps them and brings them to the vault. Back at the farm, Jonathan is irate on why there's a helicopter in front of the yard. Clark shows up with Lex to tell his father about the romantic dinner they've planned. However, Jonathan takes his frustration with his wife out on Lex. Lex sticks up for himself a little here and tells him to stop being such a hard ass. I liked it. It was finally that moment where Lex was like, you know, Mr. Kent, F you, dude. Right?
All I ever do is try to help you.
Did you like it?
I liked it. I didn't expect it either. I thought Lex would just sort of be like, all right, you know, sorry, Clark, I tried, and walk away. But no, he stands up for himself.
Yeah, I think he's had it. He's also, all the stuff that's going on with his father spying on him, and now he's got this thing, you know, work out in Metropolis, and then this asshole starts mouthing him off again. He's like, you know what? Done. The heist team's hard at work to crack open the vault at Luther Corp. When Lionel and Martha arrive, they find out the cops have been tipped off because Lionel triggered a panic button. And out of frustration, Pine shoots and kills his partner, Kern. Tom feels bad. All the heist members pull out their pistols in a standoff, and Lionel caresses Martha's head. Creepier and creepier as we go. Yeah, I don't remember him being this creepy. This is the first episode where I was like, the creep meter was pretty high.
Keep your hands to yourself, Mr. Luther.
Yeah, Mr. Greaseball. While Die Hard is going on in Metropolis, Lana is entertaining the Smalls in the Talon. When Henry steps away from Mona, his wife Jennifer tells Lana that she does not want Lana getting close to Henry. Jennifer is concerned that Henry will lose interest in her and leave her damaged and neglected in the end. I thought this was like, first of all, I felt like she was lying. It just felt like she wasn't telling the truth, this woman. And why would anyone tell this girl who just found her father such terrible news? It's just, people don't talk like that.
I got the feeling that the character who was the woman who was talking to Lana was talking about herself and kind of like, I don't want you to turn out like me because this is what he does. That's what I got.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So she's like, he neglects me and I can't have him give all the attention to you now.
She's like, not only am I not getting any attention, but you won't either. I think that's what I got out of it.
Like, because yeah. you think that she's going to say, hey, Lana, get out of our lives. I don't like you. But I think we're expecting that moment to happen. But then they give us this other one. That's what I thought was happening.
Yeah. I just wonder what, you know.
I thought they were trying to turn it on its head.
Yeah, I was hoping Lana would have said, hey, Dad, I was just talking here with this biatch. And she said these things. Is this true? I just don't know what to do. I'm a little confused. And that would have screwed up everything. Clark and his father are watching TV inside their home when they see a live broadcast of the hostage situation at Luther Corp. Understanding that Martha is involved, they rush to Metropolis. Jonathan tells Clark to be careful, but he's not going to try and stop him. Jonathan returns to Luther Manor, tail between his legs, to ask Lex for a ride to Metropolis. I'll give you a ride, Mr. Kent.
So I'd like that. You had to see him ask.
Yeah, I made him squirm.
And I didn't want to see Jonathan get on Clark's piggyback for a super speed ride to Metropolis. I didn't want to see that. So, you know. It also gets Lex to Metropolis, too. So,
According to Google,
Smallville is 100 miles from Metropolis. That's what it says on Google. I looked it up.
That's an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Could be longer, country roads.
So, if he was going to drive, it was going to take him so long.
Yeah.
15 minutes and... It's probably 15 minutes on a helicopter.
Jonathan tries taking blame for his actions, but Lex tells him there's plenty of blame to go around. Fun fact, the last time Jonathan was in Lex's office, he was taking shots at him with a rifle. Clark shows up at Luther Corp and gets around the police perimeter to try and find his way into the building. Before he can open up a gate to get underground, he is stopped, frisked, and held at gunpoint by an officer questioning what he's up to. Back in the hostage room.
The woman who played that officer, I believe, was Chris, our Steadicam operator's wife.
Really? I think you're right.
I think I remember that.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are right, dude. Now, that's good memories. Nice. Wait, memories. But, oh, my God. I'm an idiot. Back in the hostage situation, Martha tells Lionel she feels bad about the idea of how things could go down, especially with the bad terms that she and Jonathan are on. Lionel receives the information with a grin and shares his own bad terms that he left on with Lex. That was a nice, nice moment between the two. The heist team finally makes their way into the vault, shocked to find that it is filled with glowing green bars and not the riches they assumed would be there.
Dang.
But Martha recognizes them.
Oh, yes, she does. Kryptonite. Jonathan and Lex arrive in Metropolis. Lex goes to get briefed on the hostage negotiation, and Clark tells Jonathan his plan to get in Luther Corp from the nearby Daily Planet building. Jonathan is hesitant because the buildings are 200 feet apart, and Clark has a fear of heights. Interesting.
So one of the things I want to point out, especially as you get into this point in the episode, is you really see James Marshall's hand in this, and I'll tell you why. One of the things that Marshall does is he gets a lot of pieces that are then edited together. And a lot of those pieces are off actors' faces down to what they're doing, where a lot of times those would be two shots. There's shots of people, like when Clark's trying to get into the grate, the shot is down on Clark and it comes up as Clark comes up. A lot of directors just have you stand out of that shot into another shot. And this is how James sort of picks away at all these things, which I'll be honest with you, can feel tedious at the end of a long day. But he's able to ramp up and show you angles that most directors don't get.
Yeah, I think, Marshall just knocked it out of the park with this one. I think he...
A lot of good shots.
I think, the way it was, it just felt like, whoa, we're watching... I don't know, we're watching a really good show.
It felt cinematic, this episode.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like it was bigger. And I think it was probably had a lot to do with the way it was shot, the way it was directed, like the way it was all put together.
Written, everything came together.
It felt like an event.
An event.
Yeah.
Well, and the color mode actually shifts as you go to Metropolis too. It's more blue and more sort of red. And especially when you get inside the building and the power goes out and the helicopter, that's another thing. Al was talking about an expensive episode. Dude, so they went from an episode they thought would be contained and not be a lot of money. And you get to Metropolis, there's a helicopter flying, lower, like not over the building, but like through the buildings at night. That's expensive. There's a lot of stuff in here.
Day turns to night, and the heist team becomes increasingly upset that the vault doesn't contain money. And out of anger, they throw some paperwork across the floor. Martha takes a peek at one of the files and sees that it is Luther Corp confidential file on her son. Not only that, the heist team uncovers the spaceship key that Lionel has stored away. Martha is shocked as they interrogate Lionel over what the octagonal disc could be. And the way she looked at Lionel was just spoke volumes, just disdain, just absolute, oh my
disgust.
God, you monster. You really are a monster. It was great. Lex calls back in as Mr. Green to try and reason with the heist team. His interest is piqued as he learns that they had recovered the octagonal disc from the vault. After seeing his mother on camera at gunpoint, Clark has had enough and makes his way to the top of the Daily Planet building. He gets a little queasy looking at the distance from the ground, but gathers the courage to make the leap in a single bound. However, the move signals an alert to the heist team inside and the SWAT team on the ground. Do you remember that moment
where
we were jumping?
So I don't remember doing this, but I enjoyed watching it. And I love the fact that he doesn't miss the building. He misses the floor he wants and then goes crashing down. But the look on Clark's face as he realizes he's not going to make it, I kind of laughed a little bit. I thought it was a good moment.
It was also a good moment when you land in the thing. I think you were kind of happy, as I recall.
Yeah. He smiles. Yeah.
I made it. Now, here's the reality.
Yeah.
We all know that if you didn't make it, you still would have lived. You know, you weren't gonna break any bones. I don't know if, I mean, you probably knew that because remember when you jumped off the dam? Oh, damn. Who's that?
Yeah, I would have lived, but I would have been back at ground zero and having to figure out a way to get back up. I think that's probably what the smile came from. Okay, at least I'm in the building. You know, I'm past the cops that were keeping me out.
Lex calls back to the heist team and is told he needs to pay $1 million for the contents of the safe. After finding out that Mr. Green knows about the secret exit, Lionel calls him a coward and offers to double the offer. Jonathan overhears this conversation and tells Lex he better not find out that he had anything to do with this situation. Back in Luther Corp, Nikki goes to investigate the broken window and is stopped by Clark, who finds where the hostages are located. Clark cuts the power to the building and starts kicking ass inside the hostage room until he is weakened by the nearby kryptonite bars. As her son is on the ground, incapacitated, Martha calls out for him to escape. That's the only thing I didn't like as much. I think Martha shouldn't have called out his name, knowing that Lionel has these papers and these things on him. And he's like, think about it. For all she knows, like Lionel's on to Clark. So I would not have said his name when he came in the room to let him know he was there. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he would have found it anyway, but she pushes the kryptonite bars back into the vault, protecting her son. This rejuvenates Clark, who attacks Kern in an attempt to save Lionel. During the confrontation, we hear a gunshot and see blind Lionel has pulled the trigger, killing
Kern. Yeah, because if he's blind, how did he aim the gun properly?
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The only thing is later you'll find that Lionel's walking around the office and he's, you know, even when he's by himself, he's acting blind.
Yeah.
So, method.
Before leaving the building, Martha takes the octagonal disc in her son and has her son use heat vision to burn his confidential file that was in the vault. The families safely reunite outside of Luther Corp. The Kents embrace each other lovingly, and Lionel shoves off Lex's attempts to reconcile. I definitely like this moment. It shows you the juxtaposition of love and, you know, dysfunction. And it was nice. We've seen it before because it says 1 year ago at Luther Corp, the same cold reconciling happened at the end of Jitters, another huge hostage situation. But this one was more impactful. Now that we know the characters more, it was much more impactful.
It reminded me of something I heard not long ago where, and I don't know if this is true, but it was funny, that 95% of all arguments are not about what's being said. It's about how it's being said. Tone.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so interesting.
That's true.
It's just like, how you say it.
Because when you say like, I mean, if you just said something like, hey, would you mind, please just close the door next time? Great. Close the door next time. I told you. You're like, oh, right. What a dick. The next day at the Kent farm, Martha lets her family know she's resigning from her position at Luther Corp because of all the digging that she found on Lionel and that little digging he was doing on Clark. Jonathan stops her and tells her that having an inside ear on Luther Corp might be more advantageous. Interesting.
Wrong.
Later that night, the episode ends with Martha hiding the spaceship key in Kent's flower jar under the sink, unbeknownst to the rest of the family.
So what the interesting thing about Jonathan saying maybe we want to keep you there so you can stay close makes me think, what did Lionel really hear or see in the office?
I agree.
You know, so maybe he's on to Martha too, but all right.
Interesting things to note. This episode is the first time the Daily Planet building is shown. Pete Ross and Chloe Sullivan do not appear in this episode. This is the first episode to not feature Chloe. Superman's often quoted ability to leap tall buildings in a single bound has never been seen in any of the films, but it does appear here. Martha's strange decision to hide the key from Jonathan and Clark is later explained in Fever, an episode to come. Kevin Gage also played the Chinese officer in the episode Sacred.
That's an interesting thing of note.
All right. Now it's time for the hotline. It's the hotline. Feeling hot, hotline. We're excited about this. Let's go to patron privilege. Join Patreon, patreon.com/talkville. Become a patron today. We love you, and there's a lot of cool perks. It's a family. Here's Rei Harada calling from Japan.
Hello, this is Rei Harada in Japan. So in the beginning of the episode, when Lex is destroying his office looking for bugs, was that music added in post, or were you actually be able to listen to the music playing while you were doing that scene?
First of all, that song pissed me off. I forgot to mention it. It sucked. That music sucked. It was like, where did they get that B crap? Just like, it was like, it's like, come on, man.
It was popular at the time, I bet.
It wasn't popular at the time.
It was.
You remember that song?
You listen to 80s music.
That was a real song?
Yes.
Oh, God. Garbage.
Yeah. The style of music wasn't it?
I hated it. It pissed me off, just like that scene.
Michael doesn't know any song after
1989.
No.
But yeah, they added it in post. Thanks, Ray. They added it in post-production. Here is...
Except for Ariana Grande. The funny thing is, like, that's what Lex would put on to do that. That's a good question, though, but no, you're not allowed to play music when you're on set like that because it messes up the audio that they're trying to capture. There's a very famous story from Transformers that apparently Shia LaBeouf wanted to play music on set for a big scene where he had to cry. And I guess it was a big battle on set. Like, he brought a boombox and everything, and the director was like, F no, it's not happening.
You know what? There was...
Yeah, a lot of actors will listen to music on headphones right before they roll because that's their triggers and that's the process and can be effective if you have that song that makes you cry.
This is Julie from Oklahoma City, and my question is for Michael. Lex uses a story to allude to the idea that Lionel is bugging his office. Both Lionel and Lex say a lot of parables, a lot of stories, and I was just wondering if any of those stories or parables stuck out to you in your own personal life.
All I'll say is, you know, I love my father and everything, and I just think there were, you know, definitely parallels to our relationship. Obviously, Lionel was an atrocity, but, you know,
your dad's a billionaire. Lionel's
no, my dad was not a billionaire. Worked very hard. Grew up not with nothing. And, you know, worked our way up to middle class eventually. But I think that emotionally, maybe, you know, my dad wasn't the kind of guy that would, you know, sort of. It just, you know, it felt like there was a lot more to be told. And I didn't really know my father, and my father's still alive. But I didn't know about him as a kid. He didn't want me to know. And I think that sort of parallel with Lex doesn't really know a lot about his father until he finds things out. And so anyway,
I would think that Lionel's more deceptive and more.
Oh, way more. Oh, yeah. No, my dad's not deceptive.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that. I was just saying in terms of emotion, that's the only thing I could think of, you know. Here we go. This is Irene.
Hi, this is Irene from Pittsburgh. My question is actually for you, Rosie. What was it like getting to wreck all the props inside of your office, especially since just a couple episodes prior, you got to beat up on a meter maid's car?
You know, I mean, it was fine, but again, that scene just kind of bothered me, you know. But, you know, it's, you know, throwing crap around, it's kind of fun. Yeah, I mean, it's fun. Beating the car down with your golf club, that was definitely cool. It's cooler than how it came across. You know what I mean? It felt better.
Do you imagine if you were like busting up your office looking for it, then you stopped yourself and you called your girlfriend doctor and you're like, listen, I just need to talk.
Yeah.
I've destroyed half my office.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know, I think what bothered me is Lex is always calm and collective, no matter what. And he just, those scenes he wasn't. So it just, to me, it just felt out of place. That's just me.
Well, it seems like it's in place if you're destroying stuff all of a sudden and you're in anger management.
Hey, this is John in Seattle, Washington. Tom, do you remember filming the jump from the Daily Planet to Luther Corp? The way you jumped was kind of awkward, but probably how we all would try to make a jump like that for the first time. Was the way you jumped scripted or a personal choice?
Unfortunately, I don't actually remember filming it, but I can tell you a couple of things. Again, my stunt double at the time, Chris Sayre, was always so good, and he would help me with things like, okay, you did it, you're on the wire, we rehearse it. And he would say things like, it looks too good, meaning it looks too easy. And he would help me, especially when Clark was trying to figure things out or was unsure, he would show me how to make it seem awkward once we got down the safety or the actual jumps that we would do, or the falls, or even the punches or kicks. And at the same time, he would come in and be, you know, if I threw a punch and it didn't look good, he'd be like, that didn't look good. So I'm sure he had a big part of it. I know the swinging of the hands, that's probably something that came from him. But you just try to make those things as grounded as possible, because the elements that are going on are so heightened as it is.
Good answer. Brian G. Ain't nothing but a Brian G thing, baby.
Hey, gent, Brian C. again, a Patreon from Albuquerque, New Mexico. This appears to be one of the first episodes that I can recall that didn't feature Clark and Lex in a majority of scenes. My question is to both of you. Did you guys enjoy episodes like this because you maybe had a lighter workload, or was it a matter of professional pride that you didn't like missing out on scenes?
Well, put it this way. Just because I'm not in scenes with Lex doesn't mean that my workload was any less, because I was over jumping over buildings and spending 8 hours on a green screen. But I did like the cross between Lex and Jonathan on this a lot. And I also felt, you know, once you get to Metropolis, Lex doesn't know Clark is there. But Jonathan is there. I didn't miss the Clark Lex stuff, cause we got to see a little bit at the beginning. But as far as workload goes, I'm sure that wasn't affected by me. And for Michael, I'm sure you getting a chance to work with Jonathan, you know, John Schneider, was probably fun. It's a different element. It's always fun to work with new actors.
Absolutely. It mixes it up, makes it more interesting. And also, you forget Tom, even the show in general. You know, we were shooting, they're pretty much 10-day episodes, because it's 8 days of what do you call it? Principal photography.
First unit.
And then 2 days of stunts.
Second unit.
So you're always in another show. You're filming, but you're always filming another show as well. If you're not in the first days of eight shooting, you're in those 2 days. You're constantly doing one episode or the other. It's just continuous.
Yeah.
Here's Kyle. Kyle, stay a while.
Hi, I'm Kyle. I'm from Ohio. There's a scene at the end where the Kent family is reunited and Lex is looking at them. It's really clear how jealous he is. Michael, what can you tell me about that subtext? Was it on the page? Did you try to play that even when it wasn't on the page?
Huh, that's a good question. Thank you, Kyle.
Also, did Lex feel like he had anything to do with the resolution? I don't think he did. He kind of says, I'll double the offer, and after that, it's over, right?
Yeah, and you have to think it's, you know, for the next episode, you think that Lex would have inquired about, like, hey, Clark, there you were again. We've got video cameras of you jumping off from one building to another, but no, we let it go, you know. I think it's twofold. I think part of it is he's glad, miraculously, it worked out, and Clark and his family are okay, like his mom's okay, and B, he's, you know, he wishes that he actually had the love that they have, and he just never had it. So I think there's two things there. So, yeah. Amy?
Hey, this is Amy from West Virginia. My question is he really blind? I've always been very suspicious that he was not blind.
We don't know. We're dealing with the same thing, Amy. We don't know. I mean, Tom says he's been lying. I think it's obvious. It's a little more ambiguous. I don't remember if they ever said he wasn't blind. They just, I don't remember. We just have to see. We'll just have to get through this together. Jason?
Yeah, this is J.P. Jordan out from Oklahoma. Did you guys ever think how odd it was that in the Smallville universe that you have a major city, like on par with L.A. or New York City or Chicago even, in the middle of Kansas? That's just, you know, living in Oklahoma, that was something I always wondered.
You know, this is kind of a half-smart-ass answer, but look at where Vancouver is. Vancouver, in some ways, is kind of pops up in the middle of nowhere in a beautiful way.
It's true.
If you look at Calgary, you know, if you drive a half hour outside of Vancouver, you're looking for bears.
Oh yeah.
On a hike.
You're in the boonies.
So it can happen. I think it's a humorous question too. Even more funny, if you notice how many pine trees there are in Smallville that's supposed to take place in Kansas and mountains in the background, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. I never noticed that. Do you notice it? Like, when do you notice it? You've seen it a few times already.
Yeah, Clark will be out in like a field somewhere in the Surrey Delta, and in the background you just kind of see some mountains, or there's pine trees everywhere in Smallville. And, you know,
it never bothered me. Right. I just never thought about it. I don't know.
Well,
and I grew up in Indiana, so. But yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? Well, you know, Rosenbaum ratings. We're going to start out with me today, folks. I'm going to go right at it. I'm going to give it 2 roses.
Wow.
Yeah.
Except for a couple of scenes that I did not like. The one with Lana and Henry Small's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't believe that. And then I didn't like me beating the hell out of my, you know, trashing my. But besides those two scenes, I thought the rest of the episode was really fun, riveting, intense. Good editing, good directing, good acting, good, everything was good. So I'm going to give it 2 roses on this one.
I'll go next. Can I give it a 2.5? Can I do that?
Oh,
you mean 2.5? 2.5
yeah.
Roses?
Two and a half.
You can do that. You can do 2.5 roses.
Yeah, I think this is a strong episode. I think it's, especially when they get to Metropolis, the energy of it all. And I thought it was great.
I'm there with you. A 2 for me as well. Just a standout episode.
You son of a bitches have to top me. I think I'm so proud of myself for getting 2 roses here.
I was ready to come into this with a 2. I'm very shocked that you gave this a 2.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go 1.5.
No, this one was really fun. It was really fun. And I watched it on my phone. And it was right before I went to bed. I was so tired. And I watched it like with one eye open. And it was still that good. So just think if I watched it on the big screen. And it's 21 years old.
Yeah.
2.5, 2.5, 2. Wow.
You have to remember something. When Smallville was made, we didn't have phones that you could watch things on. It was not made to be watched on a phone. It was made to be watched on a television once a week. And then, you know, it was cinematic in a way that I think I would recommend you watching it on a bigger screen because that's what it was made for.
Yeah, thank you. Death and save count. How many people got saved? How many died? Do you remember how many people died in this episode? 2 is the answer. Pine kills Kern. Lionel kills Pine.
Oh, right.
Yeah. 3 saved. Clark saves Martha and Lionel. Martha saves Clark. Through 12 episodes in season 2, 18 dead, 21 saved, which brings the grand total up. Maybe we get those little dings like bing every time I say it. 48 dead, bing. 56 saved. Thank you, Jason. Now it's
time. I
think
you could just do it.
For anybody, Ryan. Huh?
Anybody getting knocked out this episode? There's some KOs.
I don't know.
Any CTE rattling?
I don't know. Ryan, you have your favorite scene picked out?
I do. I think there's only one answer, but I'll give you 3 options.
Here we go.
All right. Scene 1 is the building jump. Scene 2 is... Lionel shooting the bad guy. And scene 3 is Martha hiding the octagon.
Ooh. Ooh. That's right. In the flower jar.
Mm.
And not telling anybody.
Ooh. Dark.
I'm going to go with scene 1, the jump.
You think it has to be, but at the same time, that scene with Martha was pretty kind. It was pretty mysterious and powerful, and left you with this feeling. But I'm going to go with the jump.
It is the jump. It's the only right answer.
Yeah,
the jump.
You liked the Martha scene, though.
It was good. Yeah, it left me. I think it added to the allure of the episode. It was right on par, because now Martha's got secrets.
Everybody's got secrets.
Everybody's got secrets.
Yeah. I got a good joke. Oh, I can't say it on film. I'll tell you guys after. All right, that's it for the episode. Stick around next week as things get really suspicious as we discuss season 2, episode 13, Suspect. Let's take the discussion online. Let us know your thoughts on the episode over on our socials at Talkville Podcast or at Talkville Pod. Show your support by joining Patreon at patreon.com/Talkville. We really, really appreciate it. And subscribe, write a review, helps the show immensely. Leave a message on the hotline. And if you want any more info, like merch from the show, I mean, there's tons of great merch. By the way, there's not very many art pieces left. We had this awesome artist, Mae Charters. She did this original art. She made beautiful prints, but there's only 55 total, and that's it. They're gone. And we signed them, so no one can make copies of these. That's it. So get them at TalkvillePodcast.com now. They're awesome. Tom and I signed them personally. There you go. And remember, folks. Also, Tom, thanks for being here, Tom. Good to see you. Ryan, it's a real pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, this has been a real treat. Remember, folks, always hold on to Smallville. Until next time, we'll see you later.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing as directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
And here we are.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
To talk about our lovable, wonderful patrons. Couldn't do this without you. Join patreon.com/Talkville. And we thank you and we love you and we read your names off because you keep us going. So thanks. Here we go. Nikki G, Leanne P, Raj C, Janine R, Santiago M, making me a bust. One of those little busts like he made you, Tom. I love Santiago. Leah S, Little Lisa. Thomas, the leaf blower. Sophie M, Betsy D, Liliana A, Abby P, Ray Harada, Karen Apple M, Daniel B, 99 more, Lilani N.
And thank you for calling in, leaf blower. It's fun to always yes. hear from our patrons. Always hold on to Smallville. Esteban G, DJ Kento, Garrett W, Kimberly L, Justin S, Tom N, Tony V, Rodolfo V, Jason W, Osama A, Lana rhymes with banana, W.
It's actually
Nancy
Lana.
D, Brian G, Sarah W, Justin T, and Lucy O.
Oh, you forgot Brett G, but I'll get Brett G in there. Amanda R, Brett. Teddy, Teddy 127, Michael P. Ryan R. Grumpyitis, Jordan M. Hillary B. Craig G. Christy R. Karen P. Derek G. Jarrell. Richard S. Heather and Greg Nico P. I made Talkville say butts. Brian H. Eric K. Clark's mom. Kristen B. Takahashi M. Kevin E. Nanine W. Stephanie K. Darth Achilles.
Finky. Vegeta.
Vegeta. Vegeta.
Vegeta. Sorry, I was thinking about something else. Stephen yes. F. Damn. Who's that?
Who's that?
Jeanette E. Deadvid. Allison H. General Zod. Luke. The Daily Planet goes to 11. R. Eris. Ericelles.
Ericelles. Ericelles. Ericelles. R. Ericelles. Whatever. We tried. We tried.
BD. John Glover's luscious mane. Doug R. Carlos C. Tommy Z. Boston 68. Isabel, Corey L., Ivy and Sam, Mr. Home Arcade, Cal T., Amanda K., Jesse C., Lumber, Jack, Claire M.
By the way, if we're messing up your name, do us a favor and change your name so we know how to say it. Because we have to say it 100 times because how are we supposed to know how to say it? So when we say,
messing up your
seriously,
name,
I love you guys,
name.
But like, there's one in here that I'm like, we'll never get it. Ericelles R. Ericelles. You got to or phonetically spell it out next to it. We're messing you up, and I don't want to mess you up. Adam S. and Michael Knight Rider and Veronica Q. That's it, right? No, there's not. We got more. I love these guys.
Fourth favorite character, Zoe.
Underscore
Scott S.
Zoe.
D. Brown.
Scott S. D.
Joshua
Brown.
W. Alice. Be kind. Please rewind.
Karen Era.
Eldon Suprema.
Eldon Suprema.
Leslie V. Tatiana S., Robert G., Natalia G., Julie Jules, Mick Burtz, Ginger Moose, Leslie and Jordan, Christopher S., Katie B., Michelle M., Drew, Camille, Brittany S. Is that Britney Spears?
Smoljak Sassy Bibu. I mean, again, I don't know if we're saying that. Smoljak Sassy Bibu. We're probably saying some one of those things where we're saying bad words and we don't realize it. Like, oh, me so... Marisol P., guys, we love you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being our patrons. And I hope we get to meet one day. I'm still trying to do it with the whole COVID thing with inside of you threw everything into a loop. But hopefully we'll get to meet all our lovable patrons and fans and come to cons and visit us. We got a ton of cons coming up. Chicago, Rhode Island, Salt Lake City. The list goes on. So we love you. Tommy, see you later, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Much appreciated. See you later.